Wayne Pacell is a friend of mine, an old friend of mine. He is the president of the Center for Humane Economy. Sounds very official there, Wayne. How are you?
I'm great, Steve, and I know you know a lot about the topic of animal welfare. You've been such a national leader. It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that, and I want to talk about mink. So explain what mink farms are first for people who may not know.
Well, mink farms are facilities where these captive wild animals are maintained typically in very close confinement in cages, and they're raised for about 7 months and killed, and their pelts are sold to the fur trade. And it's a complement, if you will, but really the bulk of the production, contrasting with the trapping of wild mink. So the mink coats that we have obviously all heard about come either from animals captured in the wild with steel traps or conibear traps, or they're on mink farms. But the mink farms have been the bulk of the animals killed for fur.
Now, in the United States, anyway, do people even buy mink stoles anymore? I know in the 1950s and 60s that was a thing, but is it still? I don't even know that places sell those anymore. But maybe they do. I don't know.
No, your skepticism is a good instinct, Steve. The market has crashed because of waning consumer demand, and then correlated with that is that the major fashion retailers and the major designers now abstain from selling or working with fur in their design. So think of all the big brand fashion companies like the Middle of America notions, like, you know, Macy's, which used to have fur racks, and then you think of the higher end like Armani or Coach. They all shun fur at this point. So we have about 60 mink farms in the U.S., and this is down from 7,000, Steve. You were correct. In the late 1950s, we had about 7,000 mink farms in the U.S., now just 60, and almost all the pelts go to elites in China. So we are farming mink. The top two states are Wisconsin and Utah, killing them and selling their pelts to Chinese elites.
And I've seen videos. I've never been to a mink farm, but I've seen video, and it reminds me of what puppy mills are at their worst in many ways. So we sell them to China, and this had been going on for a long time. And then comes along the pandemic, and it turns out mink were affected by the SARS coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Can you talk about that a little bit and what happened not only in the United States, but around the world as a result of that?
Well, Steve, you've worked a lot on puppy mills and fought those in Illinois and in Chicagoland more narrowly and then across the country. And you're correct. I mean, mink farms kind of do look like puppy mills. The dogs don't deserve that close confinement, and nor do these wild mink, who are actually solitary animals. And this is kind of a lead in to your main question, which is, you know, what's going on with SARS-CoV-2 and mink? So mink are solitary, they're aggressive, they are top line predators, you know, in their ecosystems in terms of, you know, predating on small animals. They do not do well in extreme confinement. They get very, very stressed. They're also semi-aquatic, so they live, you know, on the edges of riverbanks and streams, and they're spending a lot of their time in the water. When they're on a mink farm, they're in a small cage, and they're often kept with others of their kind. Turns out that there are two species in the world that are documented at this point to get COVID, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, in large numbers: human beings and the American mink. Millions of mink have been infected in Europe and the United States on mink farms. The current estimate is about 7 million mink have been infected out of 35 million mink on mink farms in Europe and the United States. So that's, you know, 1 in 5 mink. So about 20% of all the mink on these farms are infected. You look at the global rates of infection for human beings, and of course we're not kept, you know, in cages, but in terms of known cases, it's a little more than 5% of the global population. So mink are highly susceptible. The other problem with mink is that there may be 40,000, 60,000, 80,000 mink crammed onto one of these factory farms. When one of the mink gets it, they catch it from a mink farm worker who's infected, goes to work, perhaps doesn't realize he or she is infected, spreads it to the mink, and then overnight, tens of thousands of mink are infected. When you have many more hosts for the virus, you have a greater chance of mutation. Three variants of SARS-CoV-2 have been spawned on mink farms. One in Michigan, not far from WGN there in northern Illinois.
Chicago.
And then two... Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, Chicago.
That's okay.
And the other two were in France and in Denmark. And the Denmark variant infected thousands of people before the Danish government killed all the mink. And this was the number one mink farming country in the world, 17 million mink, in order to arrest a new variant that could have spread throughout the world. It's actually an incredible success story in a narrow sense that they stopped the virus, the mink virus, from spreading all over the world. But it's going to occur again. It's happened three times, including in Michigan, quite close to Chicago. It was far western Michigan in the southwest corner of the state. This is a viral threat in our homeland for no good reason, Steve, to sell to China, not for any human necessity, not for any domestic purpose. 60 mink farms, a marginal industry in the United States, yet we're threatening to launch the next variant, which could throw our economy into great turmoil, as we've seen happen multiple times in the last 2.5 years.
So I'm running out of time here. So in about a minute, where are we legislatively to say these mink farms, at least in the United States, should stop existing?
Representative Mike Quigley from Chicagoland is a co-sponsor of the bill, and Raja Krishnamoorthy is also from the Chicagoland area.
I know them well.
Yes, they're both great animal advocates, tremendous animal advocates, leaders on animal welfare in Congress. They worked with Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro and a number of Republicans to pass a mink farming ban in the U.S. House. That was part of a larger package to deal with U.S. Commercial activity and increasing our capacity to compete against China on a range of economic issues. It's not in the Senate bill. It's now going to what's called the Conference Committee, and a number of lawmakers from the House and Senate have been appointed to reconcile differences between the bill. So, Steve, this is a live political issue. We need to get folks contacting both senators from Illinois, senators from other states, if you're listening from other parts of the country, as well as your U.S. reps. And to hold on to this mink farming ban and ban this practice in the United States.
All right. Very, very quickly, I wanted to talk to you about Easter as well next weekend. And I do mean quickly. This is not the time to buy a bunny rabbit, is it?
No, it's not. People get them on impulse. They don't realize what it takes to care for these animals. You have to be intentional when you get a dog or a cat or a rabbit. You got to know what you're getting into. Don't do it as a gift, because the person may not want to have this kind of commitment. Don't buy bunny rabbits at Easter, please.
Agreed. Wayne Pacelli, it is always good to talk to you, president of Center for Humane Economy. You can check out their website, which is what?
CenterForAHumaneEconomy.org. And thank you so much, Steve, for handling animal issues so well and caring so much about these issues. You've been a great leader.
Well, thank you. It's always my honor to talk to you. Thank you, Wayne.